Hope is on the way. Isn't that a message our world needs to hear right now? Wherever we look, hope seems to be something that is missing. When we look at the news, it is all hopeless, or it feels hopeless. But hope is on the way. How can we hold on to hope in such a time as this? Well, as you all know, it's Advent is my favourite time of the year. See, I got it in nice and early this year that is my favourite time of the year. And just because Steve mentioned it, Away in a Manger is the most heretical carol out, so we're not going to be singing that. And the video was wrong because Advent doesn't finish at midnight on Christmas Eve. It finishes when sun sets on Christmas Eve because that's how the church calendar works. But that's out of the way now. There we go. Advent is a season of hope and anticipation. It's about preparing ourselves for the arrival of the Messiah. It's about not just turning our eyes back towards the manger and Bethlehem, but it's about looking forward and seeing, about preparing and seeing when Jesus will return. As our reading said this morning, no one knows when that will be, but we have to act in a state of preparedness. If, however, at this stage, the 1st of December, we were focused too much on Christmas, we miss out on the whole of the preparation. Now this morning my kids were up early, they were watching CBeebies. If you were to go by CBeebies, it's already Christmas. We had Christmas episodes of Hey Dougie, Christmas episodes of Vida the Vet, and Christmas episodes of another thing which I've completely forgotten because I was fed up of watching it and was looking at my phone. But we miss the entire point. If we go Christmas mad, I mean, we've only got these things up at the moment because we had our craft fair yesterday. Otherwise, they wouldn't be up in church yet. If we do that and go straight to Christmas, we miss the entire season of preparation and anticipation. But as with Christmas, society has also hijacked Advent to mean the month of December. It's all about counting down to Christmas and which chocolate are you going to get today? And I remember the furore, I think it was 2 years ago, when it was a bounty for the first 5 days in a row in the celebration's Advent calendar. That made the news, for goodness sake. It's all about, have you got the presents? Have you sent the cards? Have you got the decorations? Have you got the best? Have you got the food? Is it all ready? Great. That's Advent done. Tick. Friends, no. That is not Advent at all. In Advent, we not only start a new church year, so Happy New Year, all of you, but we start a time to help us focus on what is actually important. It's a time to help us to think about the fact that Jesus has already come and is with us, hence why we celebrate Christmas. But it's a time for us to take stock and check up on whether we are actually ready for his return. It's a stark reminder of the now and the not yet. That Jesus' kingdom, God's kingdom is here, but not yet fully realized. Now the reading we had today is near the end of Matthew's gospel. So you might wonder why we're starting at the end of the, or towards the end of the gospel, at the beginning of a new church year. But it's because Jesus is prophesying about his return. And we know that when Jesus promises something, it is going to happen. So we know when Jesus says the Son of Man will come back, we know that is going to happen. Indeed, we know elsewhere in Scripture where it talks of the Son of Man returning. But we don't know when. And in some ways, we don't know what to expect. Hence the title today is Managing Unexpectations. Jesus gives us an idea of what it will be like. That's what we heard today. And as I say, elsewhere in Scripture, we can have an idea of what it will be like. But when we look at it, we don't know what to expect. And we don't know when it will be. So anybody that says Jesus is coming back at 10:10 on such and such a day, I'm going to sell everything and get ready for it, they're talking rubbish. I'm just going to say it there. Because in this book, it does not say when Jesus will come back. It simply says, only the Father knows. Isn't that kind of like life in general, though? Living with that those unexpectations of not really knowing what's going to happen. I mean, sure, we can plan as much as we can. Wendy spent hours in church planning for the craft fair yesterday. We had our ideas of what it was going to look like. We had in our minds the idea of how the day was going to pan out, of who was going to be here at what time, doing what job. Thank you, by the way. But until the day actually arrived, we weren't sure how things were going to pan out. I mean, what if nobody turned up? Thankfully, they did. What if nobody came to buy from the stallholders? Thankfully, they did. But there was always those expectations of what it would be like, but the unexpectations of not knowing what it will be like. It's sort of a limbo that we live in. And that's just one example. You know, we can plan as much as we can, but when it actually comes to it, is it going to be as we expect, or is it going to be unexpected? And I think if we apply that to God, we know that we can look for God in the expected places. I hope as you got ready to come to church this morning, as you walked or got in your car, as you walked through the doors, you were prepared to meet with God this morning in this church because it's expected. It's a Sunday morning. It's 10:30. It's what we do. When we open our Bibles, we expect to meet with God. When we pray, we expect to meet with God. But what about if we start looking for God in those unexpected places? Perhaps on your way into work tomorrow, or whatever it is you're doing tomorrow morning if you don't work, maybe God is wanting to show up in that unexpected place. Are you ready for that? What about the unexpected conversation you might have this afternoon with a loved one, a friend, a stranger? Is God going to be in that? Of course he is. But do we actually look for God in those places? Because I'm not sure we're very good at it. I think we like to put God in a box and say, well, this is what we expect of God, therefore this is what will happen. But we know that to do that is reducing God to something that we can comprehend. And God is so much more than that. If we were to cast our mind back, though, to the ancient Middle East, the Jewish people were looking for someone to come and overthrow the Romans. They thought it was going to be with all the military power to get the Romans out of the land. Well, they got somebody that was coming to overthrow the Romans, just in a very unexpected way. So perhaps at the moment, to go back to what I started with, hope is on the way. Where is hope in the world? We might think, well, hope is nowhere. It's hopeless. Jesus isn't around. But what if Jesus actually is around, just in those really unexpected places and unexpected ways? What if in 3 or 4 months' time we stand here and go, oh, that's where he was in the Russia-Ukraine war. Oh, that's where he was in the Middle East. That's where he was in the issues with Barnabas. That's where he was in the issues of sexuality in the church. What if he is at work just in those unexpected ways and we're too blind to see it because we're just looking for God in the expected? So what if it is like 2,000 years ago? We're looking for the Messiah, but we just haven't seen that he is already here. Those of us that have been watching The Chosen on Sunday evenings, this has really brought into my mind all about what was happening back in the ancient Middle East. Of course, I know the gospel stories, but to see it portrayed, yes, I know there's poetic license, but to see it portrayed on the screen, it's a real reminder for me that it took a while for the disciples to understand who he really was. And even then, even walking with Jesus, they didn't get it. What if, in these troubled times that we live in, we're simply not looking in the right places for God? Perhaps we're looking for Jesus where we expect him, rather than where we wouldn't expect him. And when we start to think about that, it makes me wonder, how many times have we missed what Jesus is doing in today's society because we're looking in the wrong places? Hope is on the way. Advent is a time of preparation. It's a time of looking back and looking forward. It's a time for searching out Jesus in a hurting world and seeing where he is at work. Because I don't for one minute believe Jesus has stopped working. I don't for one minute believe that he's not in the situation in Russia and Ukraine, that he's not in all of the other things that we've talked about. I believe he is at work. It's just we are not looking for him in the right place. So perhaps This Advent, it's an opportunity to look for God in different places and to start thinking about and preparing for the unexpected. Because what happens when the unexpected comes? Do we continue and persevere and endure through the unexpected, or do we retreat and simply stop and pray and hope that it will go away? I know that's where I've been many a time. What if, when the expected came to Mary and the angel appeared to her, she said, oh, make this girl go away. What if, when she went to Joseph and said, guess what, I'm pregnant, he said, oh, make this all go away. What if she decided not to go to Bethlehem? If at any point any of those things didn't happen, none of those prophecies would have come true. None of those prophecies we read about in the Old Testament pointing to Jesus would have come true. Mary and Joseph were obedient to God. Can the same be said for the church today? One word answer, no. I don't believe it can be said for the church today. And I think this Advent, it's a call. It's a chance for us to revisit. Are we being obedient to God? And in many ways, obedience is a word that's fallen out of fashion in the English language because it's such a strong word. In the marriage service, we say, we use the word obey, but then there's people who go, I don't want to say that. I don't want to obey somebody. But actually, that's exactly what God is calling us to do, to obey him. When you enter ministry in the Church of England, one of the things that we look for as DDOs are you going to be obedient to the call of God? Friends, if I wasn't obedient to God, I wouldn't be standing here today. Goodness knows where I'd be. Are we being obedient to God? And are we prepared to do that wherever it takes us, even to the unexpected places? It's all about the now and the not yet once again in many ways. It's really easy to stand here and say that we will do whatever God wants us to do. Of course, Lord, we surrender. Tell me what you want me to do. It's easy to say that, but how often do we then go on and say, but I don't really want to do that? We're all guilty of it. And this isn't to make you all feel bad, but we're all guilty of putting our own barriers up to what God is asking us to do. When it goes wrong, do we go, God, you got it wrong? Because chances are it's probably, you weren't listening properly. But God can work through that situation and work it out for us. Yet, again, we see throughout scripture the obedience of people. It really struck me. I think it was last week we were watching The Chosen when Jesus calls the disciples. In fact, it was the time before in this episode. Jesus calls the disciples. They don't think about it. They don't go, but what about this? What about my business? What about my home? What about my wife? What about all that's going on in my life? They just go, Lord and my God, I follow you. When was the last time we truly said those words? My Lord and my God, I will follow you wherever that takes me. But not just say it, friends, but to truly mean it. I wonder, when was the last time we did that? So another challenge then, as we begin this season of Advent together. What has God been asking of you recently? What has God been asking you to do recently that perhaps you've put off? Or perhaps you've thought of so many different reasons why you can't answer that call. I want to gently challenge you this morning, not as your vicar because I believe it's what God is asking me to do, but to go with the unexpected. I want to challenge each and every one of us to go with the unexpected because it's through the unexpected that I think God is going to bless us. You may remember over the summer, a good number of us read this book, Set Me on Fire, by Malcolm MacDonald. I recently had a nudge to reread some of this book. It was actually on the train to London a few weeks back. And I think it was God wanting to challenge me and the church into action. I've said for a while, indeed a couple of weeks ago, I said it again, that I believe we are on the precipice of something big, of something new happening here, that the Holy Spirit is gearing us up for a big move in 2025, but I think there is an element of us all being slightly apprehensive of what that might actually look like. In particular, on the train, I was drawn to chapter 7, which is titled, Don't Fight the Fire. And Malcolm says, one of the big problems in the church today is that we want to go the way God is calling us. We want to take and make the bold steps, but we're afraid of it. because it will mean surrender and sacrifice. When I read those words, that was like a punch in the gut to me. Yes, I want to do what God is saying. I want to do what God is calling me to do. I want to take those bold steps. But what about sacrifice and surrender? What's that going to mean for me? He goes on to say, the church has become frosty because we only want the fire of God on our terms. We don't want it in the terms that God wants to send it to us. Sacrifice and surrender are big words because we don't know where they will take us. But friends, Advent is a season of unexpectation. What about if we take those sacrifices and surrenders and God takes us to those unexpected places where we will receive his blessing, where we will be set on fire once again for God? My heart longs for that, friends. I hope yours does too. That is the faith that we have been called to sacrifice and surrender, to go to the unexpected places so that God can show us more of who he is. Throughout scripture, we're reminded time and again of God taking people to places they never expected. Noah's commanded to build an ark. Moses is commanded to go to Pharaoh to let his people go. Prophets go to places they don't want to go. Elijah's told to prophesy to a valley of dry bones, to name but a few. What if we add our name to that list? Tim was called to do dot, dot, dot. Steve was called to do dot, dot, dot. Adam was called to do dot, dot, dot. What if this time next year at the start of Advent 25, we can say, I was called to do dot, 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 and I did it. What if we can add that next year? That's a challenge for this church year. What is God calling you to do? And at this time next year to say, and I did it. Four words, very scary words. God is ready to move, friends. He's desperate to pour his spirit out once again. He's desperate to send revival, as I touched on 2 weeks ago. But the church simply isn't ready. We're too afraid of the fire. Almost like the Israelites were back in Deuteronomy 5. The Lord spoke to you face to face out of the fire on the mountain. That's verse 4 and verse 5. At that time, I stood between the Lord and you to declare to you the word of the Lord. But because you were afraid of the fire, you did not go up the mountain. Are we missing out on what God is wanting to do because we're simply too afraid? Does the church need a wake-up call to get burning again? Is that what this whole LLF debate is about? Is it God trying to get attention to the church again to say, come on, guys, I want to set you on fire? And is the whole division in the church that's happening, is that the reason why? Because some of us want the fire and some of us don't. I don't know. Maybe I'm talking rubbish. But I think God is wanting to set his church on fire. God is wanting us to fall in love with him again. God is wanting us to start solely relying on him so that we can see a mighty move of God in the UK. Malcolm speaks of Christian leaders being afraid of taking a biblical stance in the ever-increasing secular culture we live in because we're afraid. If Christian leaders are afraid, how are the Christian people who have a leader expected to make those bold, big decisions? As Christian leaders, as Nigel said, we are under attack. The church is under attack. It's time that the church stood up and started acting like the church once again. And friends, I think that's what this Advent is about. Let's set on fire with God once again, and let's make a difference to the world. But we know that putting our head above the parapet makes us a target. It makes us a target for the enemy. It makes us a target for our peers, and it makes us a target for society. Well, guess what? That happened to Jesus. And if we're going to base our faith on Jesus, then surely that's going to happen to us as well. Spoiler alert, it's going to happen. As I read chapter 7, I was well and truly convinced that the church has become a group of firefighters trying to quench the fire of God rather than trying to fan it into flame. As I read those words, I text Wendy straight away saying, read these pages now. And then as I walked through St. Pancras Station, I had a sense of the Lord saying to me, Tim, this is urgent. I was looking around, seeing all the hundreds of people walking through the station with earphones in, just in their own little world. And there was a sense that God was saying, they're blocking me out. This is urgent. The church has to wake up. The church has to start talking about me once again. Are we going to listen to God? And are we going to do it? Or are we going to say, that's not really for me. I'm not happy with that. Friends, I want to plead with each of us, me included, to take on board the words that the Lord is saying to us, to make it our prayer that we would rediscover the fire of God, that we would rediscover a passion for his name, that we would rediscover the Spirit of God moving in his church once again. I know most of us want to be on fire for God. I know it's easier said than done. We feel guilty when we've let the fire extinguish. But the real and deep love within each of us that God has for us is wanting us to get on fire once again. I want to encourage us to seek more of him in all that we do, to seek him in the unexpected, to seek him in those places where we don't normally look for God. I want to encourage us to look for him, to be set on fire once again. Because when I want to be somebody who's set on fire for God, taking a stand against the way of the world, because that's what Jesus did, and I long to be more and more like Jesus every day, and I hope and pray you do. We don't just come to church at 10:30 on a Sunday because it's a nice thing to do, because it's nice to be around our friends, because we can have a good chit-chat. No, we come to church to meet with the living God, to be set on fire, to make a difference to the world. And it's that last bit that we've forgotten about. Actually, probably the last two. To be set on fire and make a difference to the world. In these days of Advent, friends, are we going to use them to prepare for Christmas in the way the world says? To make sure we've got the right tree, the right presents, the right cards, the right food? Or are we going to use them to prepare to meet Jesus in the manger in awe and wonder and to prepare for what is to come? Not just preparing for to celebrate Jesus as a baby again, but to prepare for his return, to actually be his hands and his feet to a hurting world, to allow him to set us on fire once again, to take a stand against the way of the world and to truly, and I mean truly, surrender to him once again. Friends, I believe it is an urgent call of God, not just for those people I saw, but I think it is an urgent call for the church. Are you ready to accept it? Are you ready to be set on fire by God once again? Are you ready to be the good news to a hurting world? We're going to listen to a song as a response in prayer.